We'll go ahead and get started. It's shortly after 2. We've got a quorum. I know that at least one of our board members is out ill today, so we'll go ahead and get started. First item is our consent agenda, and looks like everything is on there. Approval of the agenda, and I think the minutes from last meeting. So I'll take a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
And a second.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Consent agenda has been approved. Public forum. This is the time for members of the public to offer comments concerning matters not scheduled to be heard before the Board of Health. Is there anybody that has anything that they'd like to bring forward? Not seeing anybody bolting for the microphone. Agency and departmental reports. Homeward, Eileen McMullen. So while Eileen's setting up, I'll welcome back our long lost board member. In fact, we had to pull back a little bit and redo our process for applications for board members, and after our 90 days due diligence, we didn't have any other applicants that were interested in serving on the Board of Health, and Mr. Speck graciously agreed to continue his service for another 3-year term. So we're glad that Mark's back.
Okay, I'm Eileen Mullen, Homeward. I'll start out with the finance report. This is getting towards the end of our grant year, so you'll see that most of our grant dollars have been spent, and the few areas where there has not been 100% spent, we will have no problem doing that. Our goals are being met appropriately, and again, those goals, when we have not met as far as keeping patients in their home, it was because they needed to move to another skilled level of care and weren't appropriate anymore for home care services. On the last page is our public health emergency preparedness program, our grant dollars, and we will use all of that money also by the end of the fiscal year here. And we have been using the dollars to support our laptops for public health, ourselves, and we've also buy needles and exam gloves, those sorts of things. It's amazing how much all that adds up. Folding chairs for our pod sites and then PAPRs, things for when you go into the homes of TB patients. So anyway, we've had no problem spending that money. As far as any questions on that part? Then the other report I have in front of you is what the nurses, their report from what they've been doing in the last couple months. They've had, in March, 3 cases of salmonella, and in April, 2 cases, where that's a bacteria infection. Then 1 case of Cryptosporidium, which is a parasite that causes some GI illness, like from drinking water or swimming. No active TB control, no new control cases or TB cases right now. And we did have one home visit was made in Ames with a baby that I'm sure Margaret is familiar with, the lead levels were high, and those are going down appropriately now. A nutritional evaluation was made, and the mom refused that at the time, but I think, again, things are going the right direction. Just wanted to point out to you that the funding for this lead program continues to drop, and this will be the second year for funding cuts, and so we'll just continue to do what we can do with the funding that we have. As far as emergency preparedness, last time I reported that We are, excuse me, going to develop that coalition between Story County Public Health, Mary Greeley Medical Center, and Story County Hospital. And Paul sent our MOU to the county attorney to make sure that all looked kosher. And so we sent that MOU out to the hospitals, and we'll get all that signed. And so what that means is in the next fiscal year, we will be awarded dollars for emergency preparedness, as well as the hospitals will be awarded. But we will then pool that money as a coalition and identify from our needs assessment how to spend that money in the county. Homeward will be the fiscal agent of that, so I'll be reporting that out here at the Board of Health meetings. I guess in the mental health clinics, we're seeing five clients that are court-ordered. Now they come into the office to have their drugs administered. And immunizations, we've been doing that diligently. And I just will end. I wanted to give you just a very brief report on our immunization program for the state here. I know that we always talk in terms of vaccines for children and assume that you understand all that we're talking about. So I know Dr. Passion, if he was here, he would know all of that. So just very briefly, when we talk about the BSC program, just want to remind you that Vaccine for Children's program, and it's a federally funded program that provides vaccines at no cost to eligible children from birth through 18 years of age. And those eligible children include Medicaid, uninsured, and underinsured, or American Indian and Alaskan Native. This VFC program provides vaccine for approximately 45% of Iowa's children, and so that's pretty significant for here in Iowa. And the immunization program completes annual population estimates and vaccine forecasting for our Iowa population. And so we use this to determine what our how much dollars it will get each year. And of the program's $30 million in the 2012 budget, over $25 million was spent for vaccines on this immunization program. So that's pretty awesome in itself. Iowa received $23.5 million from the VFC program. And these funds, accounted for 93% of the program's total vaccine budget. There's also a couple of other ways that we get our dollars for these vaccines. Then we report this into the IRIS system, and you've heard of IRIS, and so that's the Immunization Registry Information System. And that's going fairly well. The sites that use these, it's available to all healthcare sites, providers, and you usually see us in the private healthcare clinics, the local public health agencies, rural health clinics, hospitals, pharmacy, and long-term care uses IRIS. And there's now a new feature where the public can get into IRIS, and they can look and see what their children's immunizations, what they are, and they can update them as well. I just wanted you to also know that we go out and do immunization assessments every fall, and Story County does an excellent job. Our child care age in the year 2011-2012, Story County was at 99%, so we did a great job. And immunizations for K through 12, we were at 99.6%. So that's kudos to the county for doing a great job with that. That's all I have.
Have any questions for Eileen? Will you stick around long enough for this abstinence?
Yes, we will do that. Thank you.
Next is Margaret James from Environmental Health. This is about the first time I think you've presented to the Board of Health after the Board of Supervisors, so this will be my first time to see this.
Oh, well, this is a good one. Not really. Oops, there goes again.
Not that it's not interacting all the way around.
The next two I have them scheduled for the same day, and it's just easier for myself, so.
Oops. I have to pay attention half the time.
Every other slide, okay. So good afternoon. Thank you for those who made it here today. Appreciate you coming. Numbers, I'd just like to go through these numbers to just let you know that we're doing our job over here. In septic inspections, 34 total septic applications, and this is as of the first of the year, 45, so we're keeping pace pretty good with previous years. Completed, we've got 24 in the ground, and then applications still on file, 15, that we're just waiting on information or waiting for the rain to stop. We've had 4 repairs, usually as a result of the septic inspections. We have 5 outstanding binding agreements, and they're going to be due this construction season, more like July or so. And outstanding septic notice violations, we have 4 of them. For well numbers, this is for the fiscal year. We've only plugged 15 compared to 30 last fiscal year, and we only have less than a month to go. No rehabs, no cisterns, and we've done 81 water tests and 40 well inspections. Remaining, we have $12,500 in our grants to county fund, so it looks like some of that money is going to be returned to IDPH because we will not be spending it all. And, you know, I'm trying to figure out why, because this is the first year since 1993 that we haven't spent all this money that we're actually going to give some back. And I think that it could be because the time of transfer inspection, we're just seeing fewer and fewer abandoned wells because we're not out there rooting around.
Right.
Okay, we go out and look at the wells if they're using them, but lots of times they don't report the abandoned ones, so we're not seeing them and not requiring them to be plugged. So that is a downfall of the way this program has changed.
Margaret, is that difference on the wells, is that geoed in, the other ones?
I'm sorry, yes, 10 are water and 27 then
are geo.
Is geo,
okay.
Yes, correct. Do you guys have any ideas why we're having fewer plugs? That's all I can come up with, yeah. I hate giving grant money back. It just,
If you have a geothermal site and you put 5 wells in, would that be one on
that's
your...
That's one well, yeah, one permit. Good question. Complaints, they've been really quiet. Junk on the property in Lincoln Township. Might even have to start making up some complaints if we call each other with a complaint. Training meetings, it's kind of the nature of the beast. When you're in the environmental health department, you can't wear a lot of hats. They have to attend a lot of training. I got my certified pool operator training, and the certificate also comes with a little patch like scouts that you can wear on your sleeve. Pretty cool. So now all 3 of us are CPOs. We all attended the IDPH pool training, and then Kathy and I attended the ALICE training, where you learn what to do when a gunman enters an office setting. Matt and Kathy went to DNR field office annual meeting. I was sick that day, and let's see, and then Matt has also taken the bloodborne pathogens class. That is for the tattoo inspections, and he has been working on the planning of the Iowa County's IT program, and that's coming up next week, I believe. Lead inspection program, 8 open cases, one that has children residing. Just this past week I did the dust test and closed down the Zeering case, which I'm thrilled about. One case that I talked about the last time still has that pending court date, and they've hired an attorney, so it looks like this one will go to court. And then I also attended the Lead Coalition meeting that Homeward sponsored.
What will the court case be about? They're going to try to... Well,
you know, it was a lead poisoning case, and they refused to fix the problem, remediate the problem, and so I finally landed up sending them a notice of violation, and they still refused to do it, so hence going to court trying to get them to do that work. And it's a rental unit. Yeah.
Did they kick out the tenant?
Well, as a matter of fact, they ended up having to leave for a different reason. There was a fire. And so now, according to law, you cannot higher down again until you get the lead hazard taken care of. Correct. Because you can't, you know, you can't deny someone renting a place based on whether they have children or not. I don't think you can really even ask that. Yeah, that's the way it states that you can't rent it down again.
I agree with what's going on. It's just very interesting.
And they don't know when's the court date?
August. It's been set, rescheduled twice now, so just keep. But we're hoping that they will do the work before we go to court. That's our goal. But this is a case that's been open since 2008, so it's time. Yeah.
I don't think they've done anything to the house.
Correct.
Since the fire. I mean.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's changed one bit. No. I think they're waiting on insurance money. So. Okay, so pool tattoo tanning program update. We received the draft from IDTH, and Jessica Reynolds reviewed it and thought it was fine. Draft contract, that is. We've done most of the training that we needed to do. We've contacted the Greenbelt of Hardin County to let them know that we are going after the contract. Haven't heard back from them. They're not real happy about losing the contract. I understand why. We did purchase the inspection equipment, water testing kit for the pools, thermometer, plug tester. What else? What else did we get? I don't know. Stuffola. Let's see. I think I can read it better here. And we every year they'll send us an updated list of how many pools and tanning and beds that we have. Okay. Pumper inspection program. We still have to do drain tech. That's the only one outstanding. We have not seen any violations this year that I know of. Is that correct, Matt? Okay. Okay. And DrainTech seems to be reluctant to contact us about setting up that appointment, so we'll probably just have to go out there and do it. Miscellaneous stuff that has come up. I purchased a used soil probe for $1,500 from Jasper County. They've got a 6'7", 250-pound individual that can core through anything. So I bought their one that has this pounder on it and then also an extruder. And it works really great. And we saved about $1,000 by buying their used one that they weren't using at all. Kathy and I met with Tedesco Insurance just to talk to them about liability insurance, professional liability, not just falling and tripping and hurting yourself, but designing a system wrong or closing down a pool that shouldn't have been closed, things like that. We want to make sure that we were protected from these decisions, professional decisions that we make. And yes, indeed we are. They assured us. So that was nice to know. We held a septic contractor meeting in this building, a joint one with Boone County, and good attendance. And we decided to hold this meeting every other year instead of every year because it's getting a little old hat. Let's see. Subdivision Regulation Committee, been sitting in on that. I think we're done with that because we wanted to make the deadline of the publications. No huge changes as far as environmental health goes, except for sort of reiterating that if there's a subdivision with more than two lots, they have to do the soils work. I am not going to do the soils work. Attended the county goal-setting workshop. Worked really hard on that Whitaker Master Matrix grading. It was a very long one. And then on my way over to inspect over there, they pulled their application. And I talked to their representative today, this morning, and they said that because they were going door-to-door, getting signatures against this, Whitaker just decided it wasn't worth it, and he pulled out. Let's see what else. Sports complex. I've spent a lot of time working with the individual that purchased the equestrian center up there, trying to figure out water use for these sports complexes that they have. It's pretty tricky. Fortunately, he's doing it in phases, so we will be able to watch what goes on in phase one and then double that for phase two.
Where's that at now?
That's up on
190th.
That's the number. Yeah.
Mother Country Club.
The big fancy equestrian place they sold,
Got sold then.
Yeah, and their septic system actually wasn't totally contained on their ground too, so that's another, there's a big, kind of a big problem up there, but I think we've got it settled now. And then we've run into some snags with the scanning of the pink sheets, but I think we're getting that resolved, but it's slowed us down quite a bit. So I'm hoping we still make our October deadline. And then I'll just leave that for that next discussion.
One question.
Oh, sure.
Someone told me they were anticipating getting a tattoo, but were not going to get it because they couldn't donate blood, and then they found out if they got a tattoo in a tattoo parlor that you inspected, they could give blood right away. Is that true?
I don't know the answer to that.
The parlor was inspected under the state
contract. Don't they all get inspected?
They all have to be inspected once a year, but how does that relate to giving blood? I'm not, if I'm not following?
Well, apparently that made that they were healthy if they got
it. There is a clause that you don't need blood if you ever got a tattoo that was not at a permitted facility, you did not give blood. So if you gave yourself a home tattoo,
Because of the potential. Okay. Now I understand. Okay. Yeah. Everyone has to be, every tattoo facility has to be inspected once a year or for cause. And then also, it has to be a place of business. It can't be in someone's, it's an illegal place if it's in someone's house.
You guys will start your inspections July 1st?
Yes. I don't know specifically on that date, but that's when the contract starts. Yeah.
Okay.
For 3 years.
You do them in Ames too then, or just?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Everywhere. Okay. What about pools then? You don't do the swimming pools in Ames as well?
Yes. They no longer have a board of health.
Right. But not the public. How about the public pools that close to? Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Any public and commercial. So you'll do hotels, any places?
Rental places. Yep. Mm-hmm. Anything that's not, in someone's yard or associated with a hospital, something like that. We will do, otherwise, all the pools.
So how often do you have to do that?
Once a year or as needed.
Oh, just once a year.
I know. That seems a little bit
low. It can change by the day.
Yeah. And if we have time, we'll do more. Yeah. Yep.
With a 3-year contract?
Correct.
That's actually with the Department of Public Health. They're not doing it anymore. It's like the pumper inspections are farming it out, too.
Mm-hmm. And they have farmed these out for a long time. It's just that we never...
And Hardin County's been doing ours for quite a while, haven't they?
1 year.
Just 1 year?
Yeah, Cerro Gordo before that.
Oh, okay. So we haven't ever done them before.
Maybe 100 years ago. When, before my time. John did them a long time ago.
Okay. All right. Anything else for Margaret? Thank you, ma'am. Okay, that's going to move us into additional items, discussion of the IDPH absence program. And I have more questions than answers to that. So anybody that knows anything about that can come on down here to the microphone, and we'll get the show on the road.
I'm the one that was sent. Anyway.
Right. Well, Eileen and I got an email, 6 weeks ago or better, from the Department of Public Health. There's an abstinence program for children that are out of the home, correct?
Correct.
And currently YSS is doing that program.
Correct.
And from what I understand with my conversations with the Department of Public Health, doing an outstanding job.
Good to know. We think we are.
For some reason, instead of, if I'm going to get this right, I need you to jump in at any time, but I think they want to change the funding stream.
Okay.
And have the Board of Health be the pass-through for the grant money for this program. And currently, I think you get your money directly from the Department of Public Health.
Yes.
I think what they want to do is make the Board of Health the pass-through, and the Board of Health would contract with YSS to to do that program, continue to do that program. I mean, it's not a large amount of money by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it's $59,000.
Okay.
Give or take a few, and it's a dollar per dollar match.
Right. And the conversation I had with, and I can't repeat what her name is, McMahon, Julie McMahon from the Department of Public Health, is that, and I think June 1st was the deadline for this, and I told her that the board doesn't meet until June 4th, but she was more than welcome to come to our board meeting, and I think what it kind of ended up being is that due to the sequestration of federal funds and how this is all going to play out, they may not need to do this at all. So I haven't heard anything back from the Department of Public Health since those initial couple of emails we got. And initially, it made no sense to me at all. And it kind of sounded like they weren't happy with YSS. And then all of a sudden, the next day, we get another email that, oh, no, you know, we're perfectly happy with them, and we would suggest that if the Board of Health decides to be the contractor, that you would contract with YSS because they've got people that are trained and they're doing the program now. So I'm really scratching my head at this point. And then have,
as are we.
Right. So I'm just going to say as of now, nothing has changed.
Okay.
Because I have not been contacted back by the Department of Public Health. And one of the last things that we had in our conversation was that, you know, depending on how all this shakes out, nothing may have to change.
But would we be willing as the Board of Health to fulfill that role?
And that's what I told her. I said that's the discussion that the Board of Health is going to have to answer.
So abstinence can mean a lot of different things.
Correct.
Your abstinence program.
Our abstinence program is, it actually is...
Could I ask that you state your name for the record?
Oh,
sorry.
Tina Hopkins. And the Teen Pregnancy Prevention Coordinator for Youth and Shelter Services. The program that they requested that we implement is called Power Through Choices, and that is, it's actually not an abstinence only. It's an abstinence first program, but it is a comprehensive program.
So you got to back up a little bit. You mean sexual abstinence and not drugs?
Yes. Yes, okay. This is, absolutely, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yes. I apologize for that. I get on one track. I suppose when I stated my title, that probably summed it up. So it is working with youth that are in out-of-home placement that and possibly, so foster care kids, it could also be juvenile justice involved kids. We actually, the grant and the contract that we currently hold with IDPH covers Boone, Story, Marshall, and Polk counties. So we implement the program in all four counties. The reason we did that was because that covers quite a chunk of YSS's service area, and we knew that we could reach that population of youth through our own program. So we currently go, it's a 6 to 10 week program, depending on how many times per week we meet. And the program is called Power Through Choices.
Do you have any way of measuring how successful this program is, or?
We have actually only, my facilitator has completed one session at YRH and 712, that's our substance abuse residential facilities in Ames, and had success with it as far as an evaluation and any current outcomes. We don't have that. We're in the first year of implementation, so we don't have a whole lot of information yet. It's pretty new.
So I think it'd be kind of nice if we were able to say that we would support being the pulser, so that if something comes up in the next month, you
right.
could say we already voted on that.
Right.
So I would, if there's no objections, I would propose that we that be a proposal that we accept us as the funding agency or the funding.
The pass through.
Pass through agency, and so then we'd have to kind of keep track of the program.
Right.
and we'd be willing to do that in our role.
Sure.
If it should come in.
Sure.
That's what I propose.
Okay.
And does anybody want to second that?
I'll second.
You have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion or any further questions that we need to answer before we can vote? All those in favor of if, I guess we have to word this correctly, if the Department of Public Health requests that the Story County Board of Health act as the pass-through for the grant dollars for the abstinence education program, that the Board of Health would support that request. And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So if we do get a request, I can say that the Board of Health would be in favor of that. So, but
okay.
Yeah, like I said, initially I was really confused. I'm still really confused, but I think I'm a little bit less confused. But it was, and I had a conversation with Jerry Bugg early on, and she was a little concerned that the Department of Public Health wasn't happy with the job that YSS was doing, and that is, I've been told repeatedly that is not the case at all, and they strongly suggest that if at some point we do become the funding pass-through, that we would contract with YSS to continue the program. So
excellent.
Doing a great job, I guess, so keep it up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I apologize, but abstinence to me is also, abstinence of drugs, alcohol.
Absolutely. No, it's a fair question. I just get on that one track, at the time.
Sure.
So, thank you.
Thank you. So, Eileen, that's all I've got. It's up to you guys if you want to stay or not. If we had any questions, I thought maybe you could help answer them, but. The next item is discussion of the code enforcement process with Margaret James again.
Let's see. Well, in April, Planning and Development requested a meeting with the attorneys and the Board of Supervisors regarding code enforcement. And we attended the meeting also, we as in Health Department, just to see, we have similar issues as far as whether or not we're going to get backup from legal. Our procedure is very simple. We just, we work with people to get their applications, and we issue permits, and then if we come upon something that shows that they didn't do what they needed to do in the file, or if we know of it firsthand, then it's a series of letters and calls back and forth to get this done. And then if it seems like they're really not paying any attention to us, then we send a notice of violation with certified mail. And then if they don't do that, we give them a little more time. And then I assume then it would go to legal. And the only one that we've ever gone to legal with is the red one so far. And I think a long time ago, Don has done a few also. But, our code enforcement mirrors planning and development. It's just that we are under different boards. And so Paul asked that this be put on the Board of Health agenda to discuss this if you all have any questions on it.
There's been, probably almost as long as I've been associated with the county, there's been some conflict maybe or questions about code enforcement and the county attorney's role in that and whomever is the county attorney, it's basically their office, and they'll prosecute the cases that they feel that need to be prosecuted. And under the current county attorney, he is a huge advocate of compliance. If we can get somebody into compliance without going to court, that's what he would like to see. He is very reluctant to follow through to an actual court case.
Mm-hmm.
His fear is that, at least what he told us at the meeting in April, is that if you get a case like this, whether it's through planning a zoning ordinance infraction or something with a septic system or whatever it may be for the health department, you get that case in front of a judge, the first thing the judge is going to ask is, well, have you given this guy time to comply? And at that point, it'll become pretty subjective as to whether or not, you know, what we think or the county attorney thinks is ample time to comply and what the judge thinks is time to comply. And that's kind of the direction that Stephen has given the planning department, more or less, I guess, through the Board of Supervisors, that, you know, if we can get somebody to comply, you know, we're not going to take that step to take them to court. And which is fine, but you end up with cases that are 5, 8, 10, 12 years old. The people still aren't in compliance. I mean, what's ample time? That's pretty subjective, I think. But
what's our code say on how much time we need? Is it spelled out?
It is not spelled out, no. And it shouldn't be, because there's always so many variables. These are the ones that we have outstanding right now, 11 of them. One red, six septic, two paper violations, basically, and then two wells that have to be plugged. So we don't have a huge list, and I'm hoping that those septic ones disappear this summer. So that it's really just an update on where we are with those. I don't believe there's any action needed at this point.
The zoning department, planning and development now, at one point had a zoning...
code enforcer.
Code enforcement officer. And she would actually go out and look for violations. And this board, the Board of Supervisors, has kind of decided maybe that's not the route that we want to take. If somebody calls and complains or has a question about what their neighbor is or isn't doing, if that's a violation, then that's something that I think that you know, we would support the planning and development office to go investigate. But to actually have somebody get in the county vehicle and drive around and look for violation, I think probably goes along or a little further than what the current Board of Supervisors is comfortable with. The code enforcement officer resigned several years ago. They rehired that position. That individual resigned, and the current Board of Supervisors decided not to fill that position. And so that's kind of where we're at. If the county attorney is reluctant to prosecute cases on a regular basis, we didn't see any need to have somebody that was out there looking for cases to prosecute if it stops there. So, and I don't really know that you guys are out looking for violations. and that was the other thing. If you know, for whatever reason, if Margaret or one of her employees is out doing an inspection and they see that this guy's obviously got problems that are caused by, you know, if he's in violation of the zoning ordinance. I mean, that was another topic of discussion at that meeting. You know, does that count as a complaint? And technically, I think it probably does, because you had proper reason and authority to be on that property at the time you saw the violation. So if you pass that information along, you know, the zoning department, then it kind of becomes up to them.
They have to conduct their own inspection.
Right, to do it.
Yeah, I think Jessica said that, you know, if they're working with one department, don't bust them for
an
issue that belongs to another department, because you want that communication open. No, we're not actively out looking. A lot of these are left over from when we're going through our files. We're seeing that somebody was told to put in a new septic system and they just didn't. Yeah. So some of it's just kind of follow up from many years ago, finding it in the file. So.
At the state level, there's no guidelines on once you identify something that's wrong, there's nothing that gives us any guidelines as far as
timing.
Have to correct it.
You know, because it's a seasonal issue. Two of these violations, the man passed away. You know, everything is just so different. So we're just kind of waiting for those to go to the estate and follow up on that.
And what, I mean, what is your authority once you find a violation? You know, somebody bought a house 10 years ago, and at the time of transfer, they were told they needed to put in a new system.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't put it in. And now 10 years later, they want to sell that property to somebody else. I mean, does the health department have the authority to stop that sale, or is it simply noted again that this system is not in compliance?
I don't think that we can specifically stop the sale, okay? If it gets inspected it will be, the buyer would be told that it's out of compliance. The problem is if it sells, then we can only go after the current owner.
Right.
Okay, and then the current owner then would have to take it to a civil court to get that money back.
But routinely they're inspected at time of transfer.
Yes, unless they're exempt.
Bank foreclosures are one of them.
Yes.
Didn't know that. If you buy a foreclosed house, you don't have to have your septic system inspected.
Or consanguinity and, you know, this quite a list, divorce. Yeah. So I don't think we have any issues at this point. It's going along okay.
Okay. Any other questions for Margaret on that? Okay. The next is discussion of online payments, and I don't know why Kristen put my name on this, but we are about to launch a online payment program for permits through the health department, permits through the zoning, planning and development department, driveway permits through the engineer's office, reservations for facilities through conservation. I don't know if they're doing their campground. They're not going to do their campground. But if you want to reserve, right. But if you want to reserve a shelter at one of the county parks before too long, you'll be able to do that online and submit your payment at the time of your application. And that'll all be done through the county's website. I think it was already, the discussion was already in place when I started just here over 2 years ago that the county wanted to transition into a new website. And so I was part of those discussions, and the overwhelming response from the different departments was, we would like the capability for people to apply for a permit and make the payment online. And under the old system, we didn't have that capability. And there's been a lot, and I think I've only been to one meeting. But there's been meetings, and the treasurer's office has been involved. You can currently pay your property taxes or renew your auto license online, and it's going to be through that same vendor, which is GovTech. And there's, I don't know, probably more than half of the treasurer's offices in the state use that vendor to do their process. And he has decided this might be a good business opportunity for him if he can design a program that would enable different county departments to do that. And I think he can see the maybe the future that other counties would be interested in that also. So we've set that up. It's going to, the state bank in Nevada, I believe, is the one that's going to process the money, because that's where the treasury is.
What percent does it cost?
It's whatever.
Like a 4%, or
I don't know. Whatever the,
I think it's a
2.55. Oh, currently, okay. But that might be going down in the future a little bit. Okay.
And I don't think the county takes any cut of that. The vendor, GovTech, takes a certain amount of whatever the transaction fee.
Mm.
The rest of it goes to the bank and the credit card company.
Correct. There's no income to the county on that.
And I think at some point you'll be able to do like an e-check. So if you do it by check, your routing number on your check, I think, was part of the discussion maybe.
Now with GovTech.
Now with GovTech? Okay. So that's, yeah.
We talked to multiple vendors, and it seemed that GovTech was the right way to go because they already kind of knew Story County since they work with the treasurer's office. And
so that's kind of, and I think, I'm not sure when it's going to take effect. July, sometime in July?
By the end of this fiscal year.
Okay. So yeah, in the future you'll be able to apply for and pay for a permit online. So
you have requests for that often in both the departments I work in.
That kind of goes maybe somewhat with the government restructuring committee that reviewed the county services. One of their top suggestions was that we have a one-stop shop for permits. And we've had those discussions, and I think it would be very difficult for, let's say, if there was somebody sitting down at the front desk to be able to have all the information that they needed to provide answers to questions that somebody would have to come in to get
a well permit or septic permit or driveway permit. And I think this way they, you know, at least they'll be able to go online and get the permit. And if they've got questions, there'll be a phone number that's there. They can call the engineer's office or Margaret's office or whoever.
And then we did have Darren from the engineer's office come over and give us the application for the driveways. And so now it is kind of a one-stop shop if they come downstairs, because they can hit all three types of permits at that one stop.
So they can pick up the driveway permit through you.
Yeah, yeah. If they're real tricky, then we just have to go over and talk to them. But they can pick up the paperwork and learn what they need to get. So
come again and build a new house.
They're good to go.
Septic permit, well permit, driveway permit.
Yep. Talk to the money collector.
Okay. So that's kind of where we're at with that. Anybody have any other questions? Because I probably couldn't answer them. Discussion of pools, tattoo, and tanning inspection fees. Margaret James.
I handed out all but one of the Iowa Administrative Code pages that talk about fees that the state sets, and I recommend that we go with those very same fees for this coming fiscal year, and then revisit this next June for the following fiscal year.
So these are what's laid out in the code.
Yes. So there's a whole there's several tables for the pool. And then for the tanning beds, it's 33 per bed with a maximum amount of 330 per facility, okay? And then, let's see, for tattoos, it's 250 for their annual inspection, which actually to me seems a little high, doesn't it? I don't know. But that's what the state set. So I recommend that we just go with what they have, and then we can take a closer look after we've had a year of experience.
Know what Greenbelt charges or is has been charged?
I believe they did just exactly what the state set out also. Mm-hmm.
How many, you guys have to have some idea of the numbers. I mean, how many tattoo parlors are you going to have to inspect?
About four? Not a lot. Five?
Five.
There's a new one Brian said, so maybe six.
And pools?
40-something, 60-something. We're not sure. We get different tables from different folks, and some of them, you know, one facility has three pools, basically. So we're not sure just how that's going to fall out, but we'll have numbers for you next month.
So if you go to some place and inspect the pools, they've got three pools and two spas. Is that you charge them for each pool and
mm-hmm.
each spa?
According to the table.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yes, it could be pretty expensive to get these inspections done. So,
what do you do with a tattoo inspection? What do you inspect? Do you just make sure that their equipment is clean. They sterilize it. They wear gloves.
No smoking. No eating. No pets. Yeah, gloves, cleanliness. What do they do with their sharps? They can have fish. That's right. What else? A certain amount of space per chair. You know, there's a lot of different things. And then I guess there's also temporary permits, things like that that come in for, say, visa, for example. They might set up shop temporarily, and there's ways to track that.
The guy from Boone and
that's a good idea. A temporary tattoo parlor for something that's permanent.
Well,
so like a jumbo shrimp.
Like jumbo shrimp.
I thought maybe Matt was just going to go in and get a tattoo and then see how he.
Is he? Yeah.
How he felt in a couple of weeks.
Hepatitis B type before and after.
So you're looking for a motion to set the inspection fees.
For the county, for those three programs.
And your recommendation is that we follow the fee schedule put out in the Iowa Code.
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We have a second.
Yep.
We have a motion and a second to set the fee structure for swimming pool, spa, and tanning and tattoo inspections from the health department following the fee schedule laid out in the Iowa Code. Any further discussion?
I don't know how serious I am. It just struck me. If I was a tattoo parlor, and you come in to inspect me. How long have you been doing this? Well, we just started doing it. You just started doing it, and you're going to charge me the full fee?
I agree. But
that's a license. That's what they pay to the state. For the license. Well, technically, they're licensed.
No, the inspection.
This is the inspection. It's like they already have their license to do a tattoo.
They have to have the inspection.
They have to have the inspection to get their license.
No.
The way that that reads.
Do you think since we don't necessarily know what we're doing?
We start with 20% and then, or, you know, give them a discount for 20% the first year. And
well.
But it's going to even out.
It's going to ease out. That's going to come out.
They have to.
Right, because if you do it for years,
yes.
It's a little...
And, you know, maybe that would have been more appropriate than in tattoo.
Actually, I shouldn't charge full price until I have 5 years in practice.
If I could interject, that still takes the same amount of staff time, though, for
right. Inspection. That's exactly.
And it's important to conduct the same type of inspection, whether it's their first year or their 10th year of business.
Actually, our first year, our costs are high, paying for the training.
Right.
And getting the equipment going. So, yeah. So.
Okay. So, I retract it.
Okay. So, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, Margaret, looks like you have your fee structure.
Okay. I do want to add that, you know, yes, we're trained, and yes, we're green at this, very green, but the IDPH will send a seasoned inspector down to work with us and go out and do these very good couple times around, which makes me feel a lot more comfortable. Because I agree with you. I feel like just because I sat through a class does not make me know much at all. You know, it's just... It's a very scary responsibility with the pools and that, especially, I think.
That makes me feel a lot better that they have an inspector. I think that's a good idea.
Okay. Yeah, I do too.
Is there an age limit on how young they can be to do put a tattoo on someone?
Yes, 18. How yeah, much? 18. And 18. You can't even have a parent sign off.
So he's talking to the artist, but it is
18. Oh, artist. I'm sorry.
So the person
can we get one?
Oh, 18.
18.
Yeah. Kristen.
Okay. Next is the discussion of the environmental specialist job description and pay grade and update. We had a discussion, Mark, you weren't here last meeting, but we had a discussion about the pay grade for the environmental specialist as compared to the pay grades for the planners in the planning and development office. And then that discussion turned into a discussion about whose responsibility is it to set the salaries for the environmental health or the employees of the Board of Health. And so I'm going to kind of combine these next two items, and we can just kind of talk about them together. I've talked to Alyssa about having Springstead. Springstead's the company that the county hired a year or so ago to come in and update our job descriptions and our pay. We hadn't had that done since 1990 or 91. It had been quite a while since we had it done. And as a part of that, they included the health department. And so our discussions have been centered around having somebody come in and do what's known as a job audit. So basically they would, our HR director, Alyssa, can do that, or we can have somebody from Springstead was the company that came down and did it initially. We can have them come back and do what's called a job audit with our environmental health specialists and our planners to see if the and there currently there is a difference in pay. The planners are making more money than our environmental specialists, and to see if that difference in pay is warranted as compared to what they're doing in their job description and what they're actually doing. So that is something that Alyssa and I have talked about, and we're going to schedule that. I guess for my money, it's probably better off to have Springstead come down and do it, because Alyssa is actually an employee of the Board of Supervisors, as opposed to, you know, Springstead, who's a paid contractor, to come down and do it. I have no idea what that's going to cost, and the next discussion will be whose budget is that going to come out of. So I can just about guess what the suggestion is going to be. That's going to come out of Margaret's budget, so, which is the Board of Health budget. I had sent, I know you two gentlemen and Glenda, and I don't think Mark got one. I actually have a copy of a legal opinion from the county attorney's office, and you guys, there's one for each. You guys want to take a look at it. The question has come up, you know, whose responsibility is it to set the pay for employees of the Board of Health? And the Attorney General has been asked this question on several occasions over the years. It's the Board of Health's responsibility to set that pay. There's also some, I don't know if it's case law or an opinion, but it's the county attorney's, our county attorney's opinion, after he's read through, or she, Jessica Reynolds, has read through the other opinions from the AG, that if the Board of Health chooses to, by some sort of formal agreement, they can delegate those duties to the Board of Supervisors. And I've had a couple of conversations with Jean Halliburton. If she had any recollection, if there was any formal, agreement between the Board of Supervisors and the Board of Health, she wasn't aware of any. I couldn't locate anything in the auditor's office where at any time there'd been any type of an agreement. So this, this may be the time for this board to have that discussion. The Board of Supervisors sets the budget for the Environmental Health Department. And if this board wants to set the salaries for the health department employees, and we have the authority, we can do that. And that would be something that would need to be done in the fall. We typically meet in January for our budget discussion, and so this board would need to decide in the fall what we think the salaries are going to be for the health department employees.
It's always been in the past. We've always done it, haven't we, John? As I recall.
Well, going way back for anybody that is on the board besides myself, we've always made recommendations. I always went to the Board of Supervisors at the budget meeting, and we recommended something, but we never made a decision.
Well, the thing is, no matter what we say we'll pay, if the Board of Supervisors doesn't fund it,
we didn't have any money to do it.
So, I mean, it's basically what you're saying is we should just continue doing what we're doing, is making... We set the salary, but it's basically just a recommendation.
Right. And I don't know, do you have salaries built into your budget when you bring them to this board?
No. We just assume the previous year's salaries. Yes.
Typically what the Board of Supervisors does when we have the department set their budget, they'll bring their proposed budget to us in January, and it includes everything but salaries. And the auditor's office... kind of has a figure in mind of whether it's a 2% or 3% increase of what that's going to be total for all county employees. So when Margaret sits down and talks about her budget, whatever the bottom line of that budget is, it does not include salary or benefits for the employees.
Correct, yeah. And
the Board of Supervisors decides what it means.
Going to do that might change some of that.
That could change it. There's been questions raised about the type of work that the planners are doing in the Planning and Development Office, and the type of work that the environmental specialists are doing in the health department.
And one of the goals of Springstead was internal equity, and that's what we want. Because we work side by side with Planning and Development, and we see the same clients. We do a lot of the same overlapping work, and we really do not understand why they get paid more than we do. And we're taking on new things. We cover so many things. Now it's pool tattoo, tanning, septic, wells, lead, dust, mold, radon. I mean, it goes on and on. We do a lot, and we feel like we need recognition for that work as well.
More hands-on. type of work than they do.
We do.
I think that was part of the discussion, and I don't have the description in front of me, but yours, technical? Right. Their job description includes what's referred to as technical work, whereas the planners
are professional.
The difference is...
And we're professional. We're not.
I don't think anybody was trying to say that you guys were professional, but I think it's the type of work that you do.
But, you know, we're not just going out and grabbing a sample. We're also, you know, receiving the results, interpreting them, advising the client, you know, educating. We're not just lab monkeys or, you know, field monkeys. There's a lot involved in it. And I don't know if money on a Springstead study is well spent. I mean, it's obvious to me that we should be making it at least equal. And I don't know if a Springstead study is going to compare one to the other. A lot of it has to do with comparing us to other counties. And if you compare us to every county for health department is so different, because some cover, you know, dog catching and planning and weed commissioner, those kinds of things. Some do, some don't. It's just a very hard thing to compare across the board. But because we're Story County, we have a very intelligent clientele, and very diverse clientele. It's a very difficult county to enforce environmental health on. It really is.
But I don't know how else you're going to determine what is a fair.
Well, at least equal is fair. At least equal.
Got to find out what that study's going to cost. That's a lot of money. I don't know if.
Yeah, if it's going to be thousands, we could, you know, just spend it. And then also our programs are bringing in money. As you can see with the fee schedule, we're bringing in more money this year. We bring it in for our permits. You know, I just want equity. I do. You know, y'all put us in that office with the planning and development. And so now we can see day-to-day the actions of their department and our department. And we want equal treatment.
And I gave you guys a breakdown of the different programs that we did compared to the survey that we did. And some of them that Springstead sent out to were small counties, but the environmental specialist only did half of it, and he did something else, you know, and so he was only making a little bit of money, but it's a county that was only 20,000 people that he only actually did three things over environmental health during the week. So comparing that, it just doesn't quite equal out, right? But when we broke it down to the programs, you know, we were way behind on, you know, like Linn County. You know, they've got quite a few more population, but the number of programs was comparable. And, you know, their director
had to run that soil probe, that old soil probe that Margaret had. You would think that it's a lot of work. That thing is a...
That part might be technical, but... but it's really hard.
I dry ground last year. It was pretty hard, I'll tell you. I tried it. It's,
well, I think I tried to convey this at our last meeting, but, you know, at some point, you're going to have to come in front of the Board of Supervisors. And you're going to have to tell the Board of Supervisors that you think you need to be paid the same as planners are getting paid. And you're going to have to explain to them why. And part of the problem is going to be that the Board voted to accept the report from Springstead and to enact those changes that they suggest. And then it's my understanding that all the departments had the opportunity to make changes before the report was final.
Well, you know, for example on that, Paul, writing up those job descriptions, you know, we were given the CAFO job, yeah, and reviewing, scoring the master matrix. And I brought that up and said, well, that is definitely an addition to the job description. And I was told, well, no, it's not. It's really about the same. Well, I beg to differ. There's a whole new set of regulations, a crowd of very concerned people that you have to keep at bay. You know, it's a real sticky wicket when those master matrix come in. It's a lot of work, Paul. It's a lot of work. And, you know, to just dismiss it as, oh, well, it's really kind of what you already do, I don't know if that's a close look at what we really do.
Well, and Kathy and I both, on those job evaluation forms that they gave us, or the descriptions, we both asked to be interviewed, never got contacted. I wrote something on our job interview or evaluations at the beginning of the year, or whenever that was, we did those. I've never been contacted by HR or anything about any questions I put on there.
Yeah, I don't know how to go about without having somebody come in and take a look at it, take another look at it, and compare what you guys are doing as opposed to what...
But it's technically up to you guys. It's your opinion. It's, you really don't need somebody else to tell you what...
Right.
And, you know, and if you guys decide that, yeah, let's raise this up a pay grade, or at least with up within the same pay grade, that's your prerogative, and then... When the end of the fiscal year comes up, you know, a budget amendment, we are going to have extra money coming in that you guys can ask for a budget amendment to put back towards that salary. You know, ultimately, it's up to you guys.
Well,
I mean, what,
you guys are the ones that get an hour, hour and a half of us sitting here talking about what we do. Board of Supervisors gets a 10-minute presentation from her.
Quarterly, yeah.
But you guys have more of an understanding of what we do, our daily job, than what the Board of Supervisors do. Well, less Paul, but... And what's more required of us? We have to be certified pool operators. You know, that's something that's not in the job description that should be.
Two years.
But it was in the works for a year prior to that, really.
Right.
Well, yeah, a couple years.
It's fairly new. And then the other question is about the employee handbook. And I don't know, Margaret, I thought you told me one time that you thought that this board had voted to...
Adopt it. I believe so. But it still doesn't give the Board of Supervisors...
And
the right to set our salaries.
No.
Right?
It doesn't.
Yeah.
And that's a separate item. You know, it's
that's just your guys' way of telling us how... our employment goes, not salaries, or, you know, it's just disciplinary actions and that, so that you guys don't have to reinvent the wheel on that.
So, I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm kind of getting the impression that maybe the salary is something that you guys would like to discuss in the fall before. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're going to break anybody's heart on the Board of Supervisors to and then again, you're not really taking it away from anybody. It's something that I think at some point just kind of got left that the Board of Supervisors were going to set the salaries. And I know since I've been on this board, we haven't had any discussion about salaries up until the last meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know when... You know, those discussions stopped, and the Board of Supervisors kind of took over. So, but it's definitely the Board of Health's responsibility, and in their scope of responsibility, to set salaries for health department employees.
Well, really, only just came up when the Springstead study was adopted, and this is our response to it.
And with the lack of any, me being able to find any type of agreement between this board and the Board of Supervisors to take over those duties, then the Board of Health will continue to do them or start doing them again. So, and that'll be a discussion we'll have in the we have a meeting in December, don't we?
July, August, September, October, and then December. Yeah.
And that's typically when you bring the budget. And so at that point, during that meeting, we'll just have we'll have to have a discussion about salaries.
Yeah. And it might be the October one, because sometimes the December one doesn't meet those deadlines.
August and then October.
And then October.
But it's hard for you guys to discuss salary when that's not even plugged into the budget that's brought to you.
Right. And that's the reality of it.
Yeah.
I mean, this board can say, well, we think that, you know, once the discussion is had and the question has been answered about what your salary should be, this board can say, okay, we think that you need a 3% increase on top of that salary. And the Board of Supervisors can turn around and say, well, that's well and good, but here's actually what we're going to give you. We're going to give you enough money to fund a 2% increase. I mean, that's the reality. The Board of Health can set the salary. The Board of Supervisors, they've got the money. It's the same with conservation. They operate under a board like we do. It's not really dissimilar to the assessor. I mean, he's appointed, but technically the employees in his office are not county employees or employees of the assessor, but they follow the pay schedule.
But it's up to you guys to deal with that X amount of money, what you feel, you know, whether it goes to salary or a vehicle or
right
equipment or whatever, and it's up to you guys to do the budget amendment, you know, 6 months into the fiscal year, if need be. You know, when we had the extra income coming in, and
we'd have to meet before the budget, though, so we'd have a time to review it.
Well, we've got to meet. Well, we'll have a meeting in October.
Right.
So I would suggest that maybe the October meeting is the meeting that we'll have for discussion on salaries. And I think before that time, we'll have this other issue settled. I don't know. I mean, does this board think that we need to have somebody independent come in and look at this again or not? I mean, I don't know how else to do it.
Is there a ballpark figure on what it would cost, Paul? No?
I have no idea.
It's kind of hard to just make me know what that
costs. I mean, it is. And the problem you're going to have is, the Board of Supervisors voted to accept that report. And I think the Board of Supervisors is satisfied that those salaries that are set in there are where they're supposed to be. So now you're going to have to come back to the Board of Supervisors and convince that board that no, they're not. Here's actually where they should be.
But the Board of Health,
it should be the Board of Health that goes and does that.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be the employees.
Yeah, we should just recommend to them that this is what it is.
Well, I don't see.
If we decide that.
Yeah,
if we decide.
Yeah, I don't see how we can do that because we've got no parity between.
See, that's just it. I'm not disavowing what you guys are telling me, but you know, you're going to tell this board one thing, and this board would go in front of the Board of Supervisors and tell them that exactly what you've told us.
And we don't know anything about what the planners really do.
Right, and the response is going to be, the Board of Supervisors accepted that report, and the board feels that those salaries are where they're supposed to be.
You haven't got the report yet, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we voted to accept it quite a while ago.
But, you know, one of the goals was internal equity, and I know it is not equal.
Well, I don't think internal equity means everybody in the county. Internal equity means what's in your people in your department. It's obvious that one department is going to make more money than the other department because of the type of work they do.
So that means the office assistant in one department is better than another one?
It depends on the type of work that they're doing.
But it's flattened out between all departments, though. you went from, what, 9 or 10 different pay ranges for right. office assistants to one. So that's
the problem that I have in being a representative of both boards is that, you know, the information that Springstead acted on was the information that they got from you guys.
But like I said, they didn't. We asked for them to question us, and we never got. You know, it's like the Matt Emerson from IT is no longer here. You know, he had asked for to be interviewed. He got it, and everybody else that I know of that asked for it got interviewed, but we didn't.
Yeah, I don't know how else to do it because, Dr. Kluge said, he doesn't know what the planners are doing, as you know, to compare what you guys do to with the planners. So to have this board go in front of the Board of Supervisors and say we think that you need to pay our employees the same as you're paying your planning and development employees, the question is going to be, okay, what are you basing that on? And this board says, well.
But it also shouldn't just depend on the planners. You should take that information that I gave you last meeting and compare that to us and not just the planners, really.
Well, that was my question last meeting, is that that's how you guys started your approach to us, is that, well, here's what the planners make, and here's what they do, and here's what we make, and here's what we do, and we think that we should make the same that they make.
We could go independent from them and not use them as a yardstick. We could just say...
Well, I'm just going to give you some friendly advice, and that's not going to win you any points at all, is saying, you know, I think I should make what this guy makes in a different department because I see what he does every day. I mean,
you have to agree, though, that there is some reality to that. You know, every day you see...
Right. And the problem is that we could have a planning director sitting here, and she could tell us the same thing. So, you know...
Again?
I said we could have the planning department head sitting here where you're sitting, and she could be telling us the same thing.
I would be glad to do that.
Here's what we do, here's what you do. And you know, I don't disagree that you guys are professionals, but I do believe that there is a difference in the type of work that you guys do.
Well, and a lot of what the planners was brought up for was because of the job description, where they're stated professional or stated technical. You know, and when you look and see what the two departments and jobs do, where that was one of the questions was, what's the difference between professional
right.
and technical?
And I think
why does technical pay less?
Right, and part of it is the requirement for the job.
Which we, technically, if you look at the requirements for our position, we have more certification and training required of us than a planner does. We're required to have 12 hours of continuing education every year for several different programs.
Right.
For our grants and everything that requires. Grants and counties requires 12 hours every year. Several things.
Well, that's in order to keep your position. In order to get your position,
that we have
the requirements are different.
Yeah, but to get our position to be able to do these programs, for you to hire somebody, they have to be able to get those.
Right. They don't have to have them, but they have to be able.
As opposed to
a planner, which apparently part of that job description is you have to have at least a 4-year degree. And I believe yours is a 4-year degree or related experience. And that's going to play a part in it, no matter what. I mean, it just is. That's, you know, it's a requirement of the, you know, to be hired as a planner that you have a minimum of a bachelor's degree.
Why didn't they go back and
interview them?
And just ask those questions of them specifically and see what their response is. We might find that their response is it does make sense to us. And then we, you know, and then if we decide to go after that,
right.
Then we
would. That would be good.
Sure.
But we could also find that they said, well, we just did this because it's what they make in Clinton County.
Right. And I know that, you know, and I know that did play a part in all of the comparisons as to the different counties or cities that responded to the request for job description and, you know, job duties.
And that was one thing. The report never broke down what information they got from each county. It listed the places, but it didn't say, well, this county said this gave figures for planning and development, secondary roads, this and that, but maybe they only got one environmental specialist figure back, and they got seven planners back, so that weight there is different.
Very reasonable, even though it was accepted.
Right.
As their salaries are being implemented, we have these questions. And I think that if I was a consultant, I would ask that. I think that would be part of.
Sure.
Yeah. I bet that'd be cheaper than have them relook at the issue.
Right.
Ask them about how they made
a decision. Okay. All right. Yeah, and that's a, yeah, I mean, that's a conversation I've had with our HR director, and we'll, yeah. And whether they send somebody back, remember, I mean, they're based out of Minnesota, so they're not going to send anybody back for a Board of Health meeting, but we can certainly ask for some sort of a report from them or an explanation as to how.
And we can go, you can go from there.
Yeah.
Depending on how they answer those questions.
How they answer it. And it might answer it, it might not answer it, it might show us the holes that there is. And I think that's a reasonable way to start.
Okay. These were discussion items, so I don't think they necessarily require any action on this board's half, so. This is a discussion that we'll continue to have, but this board will plan on having discussions in the fall about the salary increase for environmental health employees for the next fiscal year, FY15. And unless at some point this board decides that they don't want to have those discussions, they'll have to enter into an agreement with the Board of Supervisors to take over that duty. So, I guess that's where we'll leave it. Anything else from you guys? You gotta come up here though.
Just kind of a thought when you talked about that. How does this relate to, like, the job descriptions now? Since we are taking on these new programs, does that kick in a new job description?
I wouldn't think so. I think they'll look at it as part of what is in your, part of your job duties, part of what you're doing now. I mean, it's an inspection. It's a different type of an inspection, but part of your job is to do inspections, and that's, I mean, that's what you're going to continue to do. You're going to do additional inspections. It's additional duties, but they're not different. I mean, it's a different type of an inspection, but it's, well, I mean, that's what they, I mean.
But, I mean, each subject area comes with new regulations, new codes, new requirements for your certifications. So it's, you know, we have to get more educated to educate.
But it's still, I think they're still going to look at it that it falls under your current job description and job duties that you, you know, part of your job is to do inspections.
But you just expanded it. So part of, it won't change your job description. But
and part of the requirement is that you receive the training to be able to do those inspections. And there is a lot of different requirements to go along with each different type of inspection you do,
mm-hmm.
But I think that's...
Okay.
Would that warrant a staff increase?
Say what?
Would that warrant a staff increase?
That's a discussion that we can have. I mean, if there's enough, but the Board of Supervisors is going to come back and say, you know, we had that discussion when you brought this in front of us about taking on those additional duties.
And if you had, you know, the manpower to do it, and if your department was able to do it and not overtax yourself. So now if you come back and say, hey, look, we're doing pool and tanning and spa inspections, so now we think we need a pay increase. Right. But then again, I don't think the discussion was had that if we have take on these inspections, we're going to want more money. We're going to want more pay. That was never part of the. And the county is looking at putting in some sort of performance increases, merit increases, and that's something else that we'll have to have a discussion about. If the board wants to, you know, follow that suit, so.
Could you come up with an estimated income level that you're going to get off of this pool, tanning, and tattoo, spa thing? It'd be nice to know what that's going to generate as far as money goes, because that might make a difference, too, for us, knowing what, you know, if that's $1,000 or if it's $20,000.
Do you just email it to us? Okay.
You kind of know what it will generate based on how many pools you think there are and stuff, right?
Okay. Anything else on that topic? We don't have any public hearing items. Any staff comments?
Staff. I'm not staff.
Now, board comments. Dr. Basham.
I just want to say this. I won't be at the August 6th meeting.
Okay.
So. All right. I know sometimes you guys have to worry about forums and stuff. So.
You can over that. Anything else from other board members? If not, I'll think I'm looking for adjournment.
So moved.
I have a motion to second for adjournment. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. We're adjourned.